Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast.
Welcome to the Premier View podcast, episode number 126, and it's a case of what a difference a week makes as Tipperary's Munster Championship hopes are very much alive due to a late showing, which means we leave Walsh Park with a very important point. Plenty of this to discuss in this match, men. I'm joined by Michael, Sean and Stephen as we hold court on it. We're not going to go directly into the referee, and we're going to make this about Tipperary first of all. Resilience would be the key word, Sean, there. It was great to see maybe 64 minutes it was level, but then Waterford kicked on. Tipperary came storming back into them with a late goal.
Yeah. Like Stephen there said last week on the pod, like, he wanted to win and didn't mind how we got it. I think that kind of draw would be similar as well. Didn't mind how we got it. Had to dig in, like, against all odds. We want to discuss other kind of factors later on, but last minute or two there, we're winning ball, dirty ball, you know. Weren't winning the clean for the fourth time to actually get the ball in hand, but there's someone showing for it. Bonner was fighting down the corner, tying it. Like, there's lads that are putting the ball in line, even prior to Connolly in the build up. Like, so I think leaving with the point from any effect, like, not a win, but it felt like it's a massive point with everything else going against you. And like, and a bit more buzz around even after game and last number of days now from chatting to lads. Like, there was real negativity all week. There was lads not even bother going, or lads giving tickets away for free. But now there's a few messages gone in already, lads looking for car tickets there for Sunday weekend. You know, that can be a positive thing, but fair play to tip for digging in. At the end of the game, Cal was giving it broken sock. There's anyone, he was, I say he was kind of relief, but yet proud of how they dug in with everything going against him, like, and how we, the wise and sideline kept her cool at the time, to be honest. But they dug in, and like, to get that score again at the end, and again, it was a free, to that's in, it was soft free, but Rosen gets some free, but we transferred our prior to that, but mighty impressed, like, positively going into Sunday week now, and it is back on the bandwagon, as the lads will say.
Yeah, and you could tell really, I suppose, the fighting spirit kind of came from the sideline, and the first, Liam Cahill definitely poked every ball there, Stephen, like, and you know, maybe he cut a dispirited figure against Limerick, and certainly the comments afterwards were like, you know, it wasn't maybe a rallying call. He might have been seen as being too honest, you know, and they're like, you might be thinking, but, you know, he definitely was a different figure on Saturday, and it really, I think, transmitted to the team, you know, that he was there pucking every ball, fighting his corner, like, you know, and I think the team, what you said was what we wanted to see fight, you know, Hallmark and Tipperary. We got that and more. They are, you know, they're not a perfect team, but you happy with what you saw on Saturday?
Absolutely. Work in progress. We hit the right levels of passion, commitment, desire, you know, and it's shone through. Even when Watford got the run there in the second half, they never died. They kept going, you know, they kept fighting. There was always support play. And, like, you know, they were under massive pressure from the week before, because questions will always have to be asked of Tipperary and management when a performance goes in like the one against Limerick. Like, it's Tipperary. We can never accept, we should never accept mediocrity, you know. And it didn't go well for the boys against Limerick, and they and the 6 day turnaround, and they really, really showed what they were really made of against Waterford. And like I said last week, we needed a win, but I left Welsh Park there. I was absolutely buzzing for how they performed, you know. To get a draw against, we won't, I won't go into it too much, but to get a draw against the circumstances that were put in
Oh,
front of them on the
we'll
hurling
unpick it.
field,
We'll unpick it later.
we'll get there first. But as you said, we'll speak about Tipperary first, and you know, and they fully deserved it. And let's be honest, they were very unlucky not to win the game. You know, they did a lot of good scoring, a lot of, you know, they were a high score, a very high scoring team. You know, we looked, Jesus, we looked chalk and cheese from the week before. We looked like a brand new team because we questioned management last week. And, you know, Liam is a very passionate man and probably throwing a camera up in his face straight after that performance last week. You know, he'll obviously learn from it, like, you know what I mean? And it probably was, it was great for the neutrals. They had something to whinge about, and it's great for the anti-Liams, but probably not great for Liam himself that it was thrown up in his face in that situation. But there was question marks over players. Should this fella start? Should that fella start? Because a lot of them had bad games last week, and to a man, most of them answered critics last week and on Sunday, and it was absolutely brilliant to see. And I think if we can get the right levels of passion, desire, and commitment for every game, I think the hurling will follow it. Because no matter what people say about we don't have the hurlers, I think we do have the hurlers. Maybe winning All Ireland is too soon for us. You know, it might take a few years to build to that level, but we certainly have the hurlers to compete, and we showed it there on Sunday.
Yeah, and Mike, would you agree with a lot of that? Maybe like we're definitely in the mix now for Munster qualification, and I think the whole county needed a shot in the arm. The under 20s probably set the tone for the weekend on Friday evening, but yeah, the lads definitely stepped up in Walsh Park.
They certainly did, Kevin, and I think that was very evident from just as the ball was being thrown in. I mean, last week the game started as a whimper, whereas on Saturday, I think it was Mikey Kiley hit Craig Morgan coming across the field, and Barrett made a beeline for him, and after maybe 10 seconds, the three Waterford lads were dumped on the ground. Michael Breen was standing over his men, staring down at him, and I thought that set a tone for. That was a whole pile different to what had gone on the week before. I think we started well. Kind of the narrative is that Waterford started well because they got the 1-1. But I thought we did very well. The penalty was soft, I thought. But maybe it was the penalty, I think at the same time. But anyway, you said you would get onto refereeing decisions later. But I really liked the way we played. We went out, we were strong at the back. Ronan was very commanding at centre back, and the forwards were excellent, I thought, in their harrying and their work rate, which we really wanted. I thought our midfielders were excellent. Alan Tynan, I know everyone's talking about Mark Keogh and Ronan. I thought Alan Tynan was our best player in the middle of the field because he put so much into the game. And he got, I think he finished with 3 points, and Owen Connolly had got 2 points, played very well. And I was surprised when he was taken off, but I think maybe he would just ran out of gas. Maybe the GPS had said it was time to go or whatever. But and then to finish the way we did, going down to 4 points and getting the 1-1, and as Sean said there, like Cahill was animated. But lads, if you saw Noel McGrath, he was all over the place. I mean, he you could nearly see the foam coming out his mouth, and the joy on his face afterwards. Like he was a real leader in the second half on the field, and when he was taken off, he was a cheerleader on the sideline. Like, and that really showed the rest of the boys, like, what it's about for them lads playing for Tip. And I like the lad said, buzzing coming out of Walsh Park with the draw, because I think people only realised then. Afterwards, we got a point from our two away games, and we've two home games coming. And like, it was an awful start to have to go away to Limerick and go away to Waterford. And so it's great to have maybe a Cork team that possibly could be out. But even if they're not out, even like if they beat Limerick coming up, it opens up the championship, and like they're coming to town, we'd love to be taking them on. Like, as I love when Stephen says, we are Tipperary, like, and that's we are Tipperary, like, we're not afraid of anybody, bring them on, you know, whoever it is.
I'd actually be more wary of Cork with nothing to play for, like, you know, and just been told, like, you know, it's a quick enough turnaround for whatever reason after being scarred from the Waterford game last year. I think it is, like, you know, it's maybe not like a dead rubber in a league game or whatever, like, you know, they would still have a point to prove, and they would be a, you know, a wounded animal. But look, we'll maybe talk about that kind of next week. There's plenty of water for going under the bridge before.
Well, I would imagine if Cork do get bit, that they're the Harnedies and the Hoggies and whoever else won't be playing against Tip. It'll be the young lads with a point to prove for next year. You know, it won't be the team that we've seen in the three games so far. Like, and let's face it, they weren't really bad against Clare either. Like, they had their own James Owens issues against Clare. So,
yeah, now that you mentioned it, I suppose might be better go in and look. I suppose, again, not to be the apologist too much, but there was maybe issues on both sides. Was one of maybe the start was Bonner lucky? I'd say probably not. There that it was, you know, like someone saying it's a, like I call it a modern day red card. Tip scored the goal from it was a square ball. Again, like, you know, it came back off the keeper. Probably a few nodding heads, yeah. But I think certainly the majority of the decisions, the big calls, went against Tipperary in favour of Waterford, starting with that, with the first goal there. Working their way on to maybe to Mark Yeo. Penalty not given into I suppose the second half then with a soft enough free, you'd call it, could have been a throw in. Well, I think it was sitting on the ball, was it? James Owens knows. And then, like, partly Tipperary a little bit of sleep, or, you know, from the actual free. But yeah, that's again, you don't want to be kind of jumping on a big bandwagon and be too harsh on a referee. But, like, you know, it's starting off with the penalty. It's one of the oddest things I've seen. And you only really see it in the behind the goal footage of how in line he was with Barry Hogan, or how much of a distraction he was in that penalty.
When the penalty was took, I turned to the brother and I said, I was looking at Mark, and someone, one of the other lads, all the Davin crowd was seen to be in the one area, but said, did the ref just run across the keeper there? So I knew I wasn't seeing things. And, you know, it was just the strangest thing I've ever seen a referee do. But then when I see it, when I went home and rewatched the game, it was far worse than I even thought. You know, the ball was in the air from the lift, getting lined up to actually strike it, and the referee was in line with the keeper. Now, I'm seeing online that Barry Hogan should have went bananas at the ref, but what could he have done? The ref is not going to change his mind there. So that's not on the Tip goalkeeper to remonstrate with the ref. That was one of the poorest decisions a referee has ever made. And I'm not going to go down the route of abusing him, but I'm going to talk honestly about his performance the weekend. And he's not going to get a free pass because he might have got a Tip square ball wrong at the end, or he might have got a... I don't believe it was a handy free.
I think Aaron Tynan called that an absolute disgrace. So
what's that?
He called that penalty incident an absolute disgrace. So
it should never have been a penalty. Michael Kiley came over the top of the Tip man dipping the ball, and he snatched it. It was lovely. It was great. And just momentum took him down. If that was a penalty, 100% Marky Hose was a penalty. Marky Hose was worse. And then if he, the excuse is that he couldn't make the decision, he was so far away, his two umpires shouldn't be umpiring at matches again, because they were right there and they bottled it. That's the bottom line. They bottled that decision. There was numerous other decisions. There was a third man tackle on Brian O'Mara.
The second goal.
That led to the second goal. And then whatever about, if you say he might have missed it, because, you know, when you're eyeing the ball is when your eyes on the ball, you could easily miss it even when you're watching on telly. But to go back then and book the Waterford man for the third man tackle, like, that's another bottle job from the umpire, from the linesman. The linesman should have said there was a foul there in the build up to that goal. You know, it's terrible officiating, like, and it's terrible help from the umpires and the linesmen to the referee. We understand the referee have a tough job. It's a big pitch. The ball travels 100 miles an hour, 100 yards. He needs help from, and that's their job to do it. And he's not getting help at all. that's not deflecting from his poor performance, because he is. We could dedicate a whole pod onto how bad he performed on so, and it's not fair on the lads that are taking to the field.
Yeah, and Mike, maybe I'll ask your call for on the second incident in particular as well. But definitely, I don't think there was a throw blown for as well on Saturday. So is that just rule just being struck now?
No, there was one at the very end. I think it was Connor Bowe, maybe in a tackle.
Right, so one again. That's I think one.
Well, there was one.
The
Yeah,
end
there was one.
Yeah.
Actually, with the amount of throws
right
into
in
two
that.
Games, it was tipped to have been blown for two of them. So the stats would say we're the worst, and I don't know. It's crazy.
The second one, would you be, you know, the second goal?
The second goal with the third man tackle.
Yes, you allowed it.
No, it shouldn't have been allowed. Now, I like Stephen, would blame the linesman in this scenario. They're mic'd up. He called him afterwards and told him about the third man tackle, but I don't know why he didn't. He went over and he booked Daryl Lyons,
Manny
was it?
Was.
Or Mahoney,
Kevin
yeah. He
Manny,
went and
I think, yeah.
Yeah, went and booked him. So the linesman obviously had seen it. Why he didn't flag at the time, because if you remember, was it in one of the league semi-finals, somebody hopped the ball in their hand and the referee just couldn't have seen it, and the umpire or the linesman called it, and everybody was saying, brilliant work from the officials. Why didn't it happen in this case? So, like, I don't know, James Owens might have missed it. And actually, if you look at the video of it, it's the clip of it, it just happens just off camera. It's actually on the line of the camera. You can see where he shields him out of getting to the ball. So a brilliant ball from Desi across into Jack Rindergast, and he buried it. But no, it should have been called back.
Cam Flynn had time, like, because it wasn't like the incident happened 14 hours out from goal. Like, Cam Flynn could have said in his ear, James, turn attack the free there, stop the play. Like, you know, it was a few seconds after. Like, it wasn't like he hadn't a chance to think of what happened. Like, he did see it, so he's thinking about it even when Desi was playing the ball across the goal to score. Like, that's what I just can't fathom. Like, why did he delay his reaction? Like,
and Sean,
he should have flagged straight away. Like,
yeah.
Yes, yeah, so you're all in agreement on that one. Sean, the third goal as well, or like the goal from the free. Again, maybe a few myths of to why you gave a free in there. Barry Hogan, that came off of Barry Hogan's save.
Oh, yeah. Again, it's probably one of the smaller incidents in the game, but if it happened on its own, it'd be because they're so big. They were given, like, it was just, I knew when they hit down that point as well, it's going to give a free. Anything that was half, maybe a free, was being given. Like, there's no even run the mill about that. It was just, well, this is stopping us from ourselves as well, I think, as well, to be honest.
I'd be bulling if I was over a team and they did that from a 24-yard free, because I tap it. I just think it's so full of risk. Like, but I suppose, look, you have to say fair play to him.
But I saw the space. I was looking across the right and I saw, I was like, Jesus. And then, like, he's hardly going to play a short. I was like, no, he's not. You know, but on the tip, no one even kind of made a move back to even counter that. It was well planned, but the thing is now, they won't get away with it again. Like,
no,
sir. They've used that trick and that's it. But, like,
I'd be disappointed with our setup on the D. Like, we should,
with no one
we
there,
really
that's
should
it,
have
probably
a defender on each end of the D, like, so that sort of thing can't happen. Like, we should be there, our midfielders or whoever happens to be there should be the first guys in if they go for goal, you know.
Even for the rebound as well, like, we would have been caught if it actually came out for rebound, it was still going to be goal.
Yeah.
Was there another one? Did Desi Hutchinson go for a goal?
Mispucked that one.
Yeah, it was a mispuck.
Yeah, it's a miss. I think that was just the brain fart of the defenders for the third goal. But it wasn't a free. We were on the 50 up on that end of the field, and you could clearly see the ball beside Barry Hogan's
right foot
leg when he was down
right
on the ground.
Yeah, right leg. Yeah,
right. Because I was thinking, there's a tip man now just going to roll lift this and walk away? And all of a sudden, he blew the whistle. And you're like, we were thinking, it must be a free out. Had to have been. Because the lads were down on the ground. But you could clearly see the ball on outside his right leg. There was you couldn't say he was lying on the ball. And he didn't jump. Like, you could be pushed down on the ground and it's not your fault. He didn't jump down to cover the ball. It was another terrible decision. But as Sean said, it was one of many. So it's not that.
And as well, the other... The other one then, the Carl Barrett was in for some real rough treatment there. Like the two challenges on him, like your either
two
one of them
frees.
could have been in on its own a red card.
A
know,
chop down first and then a full frontal.
Would you have too many complaints if one of them was given?
And in fairness, Barrett got up after the first one, like, and went again, and he got spun again, like, and he's looking there, he's like, ah, oh, jeez. That kind of right
didn't
line
even get
of
a free
that.
off that, didn't we not?
No, we got a free from the next
they got a score off
wall
it.
that broke, didn't it?
Watford got a score off it. You know, like, these are huge decisions in games. Like, as been mentioned online, like, Cathal Barr can't even buy a free anymore. Like, the two, well, I suppose the yellow card he got for wrestling the man to the ground was spotted by the umpires. They could spot that all right, but they can't spot anything else throughout the field. Like, it's frustrating because the like, I felt we had to do more to earn a free than Watford did. You know, there was a clear dive at one stage in the second half. It was a clear
The
dive.
Owen
Maybe
McGrath
we're
one,
not,
was it?
yeah,
Owen
maybe
McGrath got
we're
the
not,
yellow, didn't he?
Yeah.
maybe we're not sneaky enough. Maybe we're not going down as easy and roaring for the referee. You know, maybe we're too honest. You know, but it was frustrating. And then Davey played a blinder then by highlighting the two decisions that he felt kept tipping the game with that square ball and the free on Alan Tynan. And it totally glossed over how bad a performance it was against Tipperary.
Yeah, and I suppose looking maybe to kind of change again, looking back to ourselves, Barry Hogan was a lad that came in for a bit of criticism, I suppose, in Limerick. You know, does he make big saves? Does he make? But I think, you know, you judge a keeper on two aspects. One is the puck outs. I think we're fairly decent. I think we got, again, the stats say we got a lot of scores off our puck outs.
I'd be a big
And
detractor, Kevin. I'm not a fan, or but I thought he was excellent on Saturday. His puck outs were very, very, very good, and he made one crucial kind of interception save in the first half, and then that save in the second half, one handed over his head. I thought that was an excellent save as well. No, I think Barry Hogan certainly had a very, very good game at the
I
weekend.
think his puck as well, he seemed to, where he looked first, he knew the man was there and he hit kind of in Limerick was kind of stalling a bit and then stood back and looked again and then there's nothing on. He kind of went to his gut thing in Waterford and we made the runs as well and he found the man perfectly early. Like, you know, even under the uncover standards, he hit some peaches out, to be honest.
Yeah, I
No,
think
there was definitely a long tactic as well, because
Oh,
I
yeah.
did see was it Beavens or Cahill at one stage came down the line and just told him just long, you could see him doing long the whole time, you know. So that was a definite tactic, especially in the first half.
Yeah, defensive setup better for you as well. Look, Carl Barrett coming in would help any team. Ronan back out.
Yeah, for me anyway, like, Cathal Barr is a huge leader. He rubs people up the wrong way with the way he hurls, but he's the kind of person you want on your team all day, every day. Really aggressive, like, no nonsense, and a damn good hurler too. You
Did
know,
Ronan
and there was
McGrath get
question.
man the match?
What was that?
Did Ronan Mar,
Jamie
Jesus.
Barron, I thought, got it.
Right.
I think one of the Waterford
Or
lads,
Darragh
actually, we're
Lyons.
going.
Darragh Lyons got it, was it?
Yes.
Darragh Lyons, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of them.
James Owens, I thought.
But we saw the benefits of having Ronan further out the field, even though at times with all the movement going on, you know, he'd be at the 21 at one stage, but under a high ball, being in the middle with his power, like, Ronan wouldn't be the fastest fellow over 60 yards, but try and stop him over 5 or 6 with the ball in his hand, you know, you're only going backwards, like, you know. And you know, I thought he really, really showed the captain's gave a captain's inspiration performance. And I have to touch on as well, Marky Ho. I can be a critic of Marky Ho because I think he have all the ingredients, but we don't see it every day. He was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant. And what might have been missed on camera was his power. He put Tadhg Na Burch on his hole there at one stage in the first half. And like, Tadhg Na Burch has no shrinking violet, like, you know what I mean? And he was brushing lads off, and I thought he had a great game, you know, and I have to give huge credit to him for the way he performed, especially in the first half when the referee was doing his best. Mark was there and he was popping the ball, he was keeping our scoreboard ticking over, and I thought he had an excellent game now, and you know, I have to give him huge credit for the performance against Watford.
Nobody doubted Keogh's ability, It's his consistency. And we could have all said, I think I said it in one of the groups, that he could end up at 1-4 against Waterford. It's what he does the day after is what's key with Merck. And like, obviously the whole 15 or what 18 were off it against Limerick, and they were certainly all on it at the weekend. It's how we perform now against Cork. Like, so, you know, the surprise factor will be gone off Keogh going into Cork.
And our midfielder, Tyne and Connolly, brought some energy as well. Like, you know, like they were just hitting lads that were trying to come through the middle. No, even a lot of times attackers may not have won the ball, but they're throwing the water man off. The ball may have dropped or spilled, you know. They're in people's faces, which is what we need to see on the middle of the field there.
I think it was flagged up last week that Tyne is probably a better midfield option than wing forward again. Like, he's just pure, you know, power kind of pace, like it running excellent. Every team would needs players like that, strong players up the middle.
And he looked like a lad that could go for another 15 or 20 minutes. You know, you'd see a savage engine on him. Fair play. And Ronan Connolly had a great start to the game, great first half. Them late runs from the middle down through the middle, they're so hard to stop. You know, he at full flow, gathering the ball, tapping it over the bar. It hurts teams, you know, and he was fantastic at them late runs. And you could see he emptied himself, because the lads around me were on about, he shouldn't have been taking him off. But if you watch a fella who empties himself, when they get off the field or when they get close to the sideline, you see how heavy the legs get then, you know, because they're allowed to relax a little. And he put in a savage shift in the middle of the field. And, you know, a few of the boys had a big question mark over from the Limerick game, you know, and they really stood up. And as great as Daisy Hutchinson was the other day, I thought Craig Morgan had a right good game on him. You know, like, forwards of that level, when the ball is played in right, they're going to score. They're going to create havoc. But he was far better. He was like a different player from the week before, you know. And I think that's, whatever they did in training during the week, I think it's a huge credit to them all to be able to put the Limerick game to bed and concentrate and get up emotionally, physically, and mentally for the Waterford game. A huge credit to all the boys.
And just maybe like tiny bit of free taking issues again. Maybe Jason Ford missed 265s off it. You know, just seems a bit not firing on all cylinders at the moment.
He certainly seems off it. It's probably his form is a real concern, and he missed a free or a shot from the sideline there in front of the covered stand, and straight away Cahill and Beavens nodded at each other and the change was made. You know, they were, and Garrod O'Connor took it. Now, he didn't get any free. I think both his frees were on the 21 in front of the goal. A dream for a free taker going on the frees. But I think his form is a real concern. I would say he's definitely lost the free taking duties going into the next game. Whether he survives his starting position, I suppose, will depend on how he trains over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but game, they're so, like, the game is so tight that like 65s have to be scored. Like, you know, this thing, like, and even the ones he's missing are kind of, when he's standing over and kind of going, he might miss these, but like, they're critical, like, especially when these games are so tight going on home straight as well. Like, they do say O'Connor need to tap over, so I don't know whether he would have actually got good ones either. So we're kind of, it's something we need to look at, or let the boys hit a couple hundred balls there, trade in the next few weeks, like, whatever. How are you going to do it?
Ronan went on the long range ones and he nailed one of them, and he hit one of them wide.
He
looks like he's that option on the long rangers anyway. Well, going by the second half. And in fairness to Ronan, I don't think he had no wide from general play. He delivered everything better, and he landed a one in the first half when he was on his own. But like, that's a significant improvement, I would say, for Ronan. You know,
yeah, absolutely. I think with the long range freeze, I said it in the group before that I don't like the free taker taking the long range freeze as his first one, because it just puts that little chink. It puts a little bit more pressure on the next one. Now, it's okay for Ronan to miss the first long-range free because his game is not centered around a 90-95% free taker. You know, like, they'll probably go with Garrod the next day, and like, you can't blame the management for making that decision. But even with Garrod, if they go with Garrod the next day, if there's a free from 70 metres out and it's straight in front of the goal, I'd still leave Ronan Marr hit it. Because I always think the first free should be a comfortable free for your main man. Because if we get 12 frees in the game, you want them scoring 10, 11. You know, and it's a difference maker. Like, you know, we had a real bad day against Clare. You know, we wouldn't bet that badly, but we missed all our frees. You know, we missed a few scoreable frees against Watford. You know, they're just the difference makers, to having your free takers confidence soaring.
But yeah, let's wrap up on that one, lads. The vibes are definitely positive. I mean, the county maybe expected, and they definitely delivered. You know, didn't get the win, but still in the championship. The Munster championship dragon does move on now, lads. We've Cork versus Limerick. That is a must-win game for Cork the weekend. GA
before
goal.
You, sorry, Kevin, before you move off it, the timing of our Portugal trip, did that have an effect on our energy levels against Limerick, and were we fined in for Waterford? And if we come away with three wins, is this a masterstroke by Cahill, the lateness of the Portugal trip?
Was the Limerick game kind of go down and our championship was starting against Waterford and then Cork, like?
Every other county kind of went during the Easter break. We came back on the Thursday, and the following Sunday week we were playing Limerick, and like, let's face it, we were dead on our feet against Limerick.
Me and Cass playing 4D chess with us. I hope you're right.
Was that, might have been a, were we not, did we not go the Thursday after the league semi-final? No, would they not been able to actually book it until they knew whether we'd be playing a league final?
Well, we went Monday to Thursday, or Sunday night to Thursday, so I don't think...
So Monday we left, yeah.
Yeah, Monday. We were back. It was a Thursday night or Friday morning or something. So,
yeah, I suppose the truth is, 10 days I don't know. You might be claiming it if they do.
We'll know against Cork in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, did that have an effect on the Limerick game, I suppose, rather than the rest of them? Because, like, we looked like different players in the 6 days.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think we just kind of got it wrong against Limerick. Maybe we thought we'd be playing a wounded Limerick, like, you know, coming off a short turnaround after a big battle with Clare, and that when, like, yeah, for whatever reason, we never raised the gallop, like.
Like, and now we're going to have selection headaches versus Cork, like, you know, because even the subs that came on made an impact. So, like, we were there last week saying we'll pick team because everyone was so bad, but now. Again, a lot of them are impact subs, like Byron Drum McGrath came on, but like Corbin Keneally as well, and even Willie Carey came on for Colony, who probably legs were gone, he said maybe, but like they're going to be selection issues again.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend, but what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Can I say it for Sunday week?
But maybe
it should be.
Again, maybe before we leave it as well, just to raise the key goal, you know, the key score, because we were looking like we were heading out. And, you know, great kind of poacher's finish, if you like, was obviously watching Sennan Butler in the under-20s from the Friday. You know, like the forward just thinking, always alert.
Yeah. That goal and the lead into that goal was marked difference from what had happened during the game, where we took easy points when there was potentially goal opportunities on. But at that point, Mark Kyo knew we had to go for a goal. He went, he popped off to Jake Morris, who had the shot, and Kennelly was there. Was he in the square? I actually don't think the still would say that he probably was, but it's so hard to see on the camera work anyway, whether he was in or not.
As we saw from the Galan one against Clare, that you can actually cover a lot of ground in the space that the ball travels. Yeah.
And I would prefer, I actually was happy that the two Galan or those two goals were given in the Limerick game the same as this one, because the advantage should go to the attacking team, I think, in these scenarios. Because, like, if you go back and you look at the Limerick ones, we'll still say, you know, some people will still say he was in the square, or others would say he wasn't. So if it's that up in the air, you have to give the advantage to the attacking team.
Yeah, it but is. I, you know, goals like, that they are hallmark of the previously in Cal teams as well. So it is a good sign maybe that we're starting to penetrate a bit more.
Yeah, well,
but even the attitude down that side is that Jake Morris, prior to that line ball, I remember he missed the line ball. He just hit away. And then, but the next ball is down there, Seth and Kyo then just took it on. You know, they were like, right, we're not fucking messing this up in, like, you know. Like, when he hit that ball away, just, oh, Jesus. But anyway, they made up for it then a few minutes later. But, you know, that was the thing, like, yeah, well, it was in, it was like a handy score and said, right, I'll pop it over and try and win a puck, I'll get a goal. Like, but he was like, no.
Yeah, there was in the first half there, Jake Morris dispossessed his marker and he lettered the ball over the bar. But I think there was a goal chance there if he'd have carried it on. Owen Connolly's, I think it was his second point. He went to the right, sidestepped to the right and threw it over, when if he'd have stayed going and popped off, there was a chance of a goal. So I think that's
Darragh
probably
had a great chance as well, actually, you know.
Well, he went for it and was saved, I suppose. But like those points we took potentially have been goals. And I would say Cahill will look at that and say, in those scenarios, I want you to be more ruthless and go for it. Like
Cork versus Limerick next weekend, lads. Are we all team green for this one?
Yep.
Or would it just be nice to see him beaten?
It's a strange one, isn't it? You don't want to be supporting Limerick at all. But like you made the point earlier on. It is nearly better for Cork to be coming to Semple Stadium with something to play for, because they're struggling. They're struggling under pressure. You know, they could come up to Cork, they come up to Semple Stadium now, gone out of the championship, and they could run ragged up there. You know, you don't know where you want to be, and you're worried then that. Like, we're still trying to find consistency levels.
On a line through Waterford, there's probably not too much between us and Cork.
No, and looking at last year, sure, it was a draw again, you know, so... And we that was a cracking game last year down in the park, like, so... Who do we want to win it? I don't know. Like, ideally, you would say Cork gone and have them out of the way... would be best. But like, as Stephen said, I think is it 8 or 9 games Cork have lost by one score or less in the last couple of years. So they're like, that's not bad hurlers. That's a mental fragility, like, down the stretch that they can't get over the line in those tight games. You know, maybe they want Caroline Currid as well. Like,
I think that that desperation for the win showed up against Clare last week, when is it Barrett, the centre forward, was running through in goal. They were on top. They had Clare on the ropes. He was running through on goal. The man was to his right, and he ended up trying to take an awkward shot that went wide. And for me, it was game over. Had he passed the ball off, it was game over. If Clare were on the ropes, they just needed to be boxed.
And, whoever was in the centre of it had his arms open.
That brought me back to. The lads' heyday when Shamey Callan be run through, and you know, he give the ball out to Bubbles or vice versa or Noel. I think if that was one of them in that situation, the correct ball was going to be given, and that was game over. That would have been Cork right back in the championship. And I think there's that little bit of a desperation for the win, and I still feel that Cork aren't physically, they're not physically strong enough, as in, you know, if two men were going in for a ruck and ball, one Cork man would stand out and say, there's a Cork man in there already. You know, whereas you're going to get Limerick now, 4 of them are going looking for that ball. I think Cork are lacking that little bit of steel. You know, they've runners and they've hurlers all over the place, but you have to have that bit of physical steel, and I think they're lacking that.
Limerick have 4 points, so they're probably qualified, I'd say. So I think it's probably just better off that they win and knock Cork out. Probably that's
yeah,
probably the
but
best
that
result
also
for.
means that they'll probably be playing a B team versus Waterford in their last game.
Don't know, do Limerick do B teams? And they, for as much as they've won, we're still the only team that has done 4 out of 4 in the Munster Championship back in 2019. So maybe if they do win, we put that narrative out there so that they put out their best team to beat Waterford, you know.
So
and they probably like, and the thing is, say it to be Cork, the Munster final is down for the 9th or the 10th. You know, that's 2 weeks after. Like, he won't want his players to have that kind of lapse without having a competitive game. You know, it is a long stretch from Cork to a potential Munster final. So I think Limerick play Cork, and that'll, I'll take it. And
yeah,
beat our games, win our games, anyway. It's all the one. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, the one thing is, if they don't, if Cork lose, the support won't come to Turles.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think sooner Cork are gone, the better. And if they're gone before the tip game, it's better for us. It's one less obstacle. Like, if we, I think we focused a little bit too much on Limerick and positional play and the position of players and who's going to detail. I think it looked like we focused only on ourselves at the weekend, and like even the Barrett was only back from injury, and they, you know, he's not long back from injury, but it could have been easy to put him over on Desi. He's a more experienced man. It was like, no, we're playing how we want to play, and you know, whatever happens after. And you know, I think that's what Tip should do now. Like, we want Cork on, and we'll take care of our own business in our own, hopefully in our own house, and that should see us through.
But Davey roaring at those houses. Davey shouting at players coming in. They're coming into our house. The most third hand embarrassment. Bully, don't let them bully us in our house.
It'd be great for the end of year DVD. It'd be a great trailer for it or whatever, like, you know, the Netflix documentary.
I think regardless of the result at the weekend, the Cork game is a must win for us. So it doesn't matter whether Cork are in or out. We still have to win it. You know, it's not.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what I mean. We take care of our own business and forget about, you know, if Cork win this and Waterford win that and the Limerick B team going to, you know, forget about all that.
It's a different scenario from last year when we were, well, we were more or less qualified going into the Waterford game, even though it didn't transpire as we were all shouting for Limerick down in the last 5 minutes in the stand after the game came up. But it's different, you know. We do need to win, you know. That's the
Speaking of Cork, they're up for the under-20s on Friday night. I suppose, look, the under-20s are flying it, and they've been very, very impressive in all their games, but probably took their performances to a new level, beating a very fancy Cork side.
Yeah, they're motor, and it's excellent, and you know,
I don't really know what's going to come in there.
Fair play to management. You know, they're under the microscope this year after such a poor year last year, and the boys are duly delivering. Like, you know, they're really, really going well, and it's brilliant to see Tipperary underage teams doing well. You know, it gives you a little bit of hope for the future, that, you know, and a lot of those boys now will be eligible in the next couple of years for the senior. So to see him perform so well and look so comfortable as well is a real positive for Tip. Fair play to all the lads and management.
I like the way, like, that's kind of, as I watched the match here, sort of lads, you know, more lads are actually going to match Saturday, even looking at the game, we're like, Jesus, this is kind of giving Tip a life. Even the way the forwards run, the full forward, like McCarthy and Sennon, like, they were kind of playing with a bit of flair and desire, knowing that the goal is on and going for, like, and like to beat a kind of Clark in there, fancied by that score, what was it? 12 points in, is it? 11, 12 points, like, you know, it's great. And I thought that brought a bit then to kind of hit people in on Saturday as well. You know, there's kind of a bit of light there for kind of going to maybe his underdogs and stuff.
It was the first loss that Cork had taken, say, between 17s and the 20s. I mean, they'd won their three games coming into Turles. And like, now it looks like they could probably finish third in the group for all their. Not that it makes any difference. Well, they'd have to go to Clare for the semi-final if they're third, you know. So, but Yeah, I think you have to take huge encouragement from what the lads have done, like Cummins and Fintan O'Connor, Tom Cost and Paddy Saint. I mean, they're very animated. They're you can hear them all over the field. You know, they're coaching from the sideline. And there's some phenomenal players on the team. I mean, like Darren McCarthy was very close to being in the panel for the weekend. Sinan with his 3-1, I thought the work rate out of the half forward line was top class. I think Sam O'Farrell is a huge player in the middle of the field. Like, he's got a real bright future ahead of him. And then, like, all the backs did their job. You know, I thought the first day against Limerick, the Carrick man at full back, O'Halloran, looked a bit slow in the first 10 minutes, and he's thundered into it since. He's been excellent since that game. And Dwyer, I don't know which one of the Dwyers that lad is, Podge Dwyer at cornerback, but another tenacious fucker. Like, I can't wait to see him in a senior jersey. So, and I said, I think I might have said it before, Owen Horgan has been excellent in the goals for the 20s, and he was
Lots of
brilliant
good
again the
saves
other night.
again.
And his poke outs are deadly, and he puts enough sky in them that the lads are able to get to the breakdown once it's knocked to floor, you know. I think there's a lot of good players that will eventually, I think step up, and maybe some sooner than later.
The Miners lads had a loss against Clare, but plenty of promise in the performance as well. Conceded a few soft goals, maybe cost them in the end.
Yeah, I didn't
You're
see
on
it
top.
now, Kevin, but I didn't see it live because we were training. But I saw the goals. Clubber had the goals up afterwards, and they looked fairly soft. Probably not the best day in the office for the poor goalie. But from what I can gather, like, we scored 19 points, they scored 4-11, so it's 19 scores to 15. That minor team has they produced very well in their previous two games. And like, you can never tell with young lads, especially now when they're like 16 and 17, that like these off days are going to happen. And from what I can gather, if there'd be no fear of meeting Clare again
Yeah,
if
I think
down the
I
track,
was
if it.
watching there on Club or whatever it was on. It was I think it was Clover, yeah. I think they got it back. It might have been level or nearly level, and Tipper roaring into Dick. One of those ones going for a point came down off the upright and then kind of tucked it into the net. Like, it was a killer. I think that goal might have been the third one, was a killer. Or even
Yeah,
the
the
fourth one.
momentum killers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, again, I have no fear that that they're moving well. I think that minor team. I think it's four out of five go through then, just reading during the week. I wasn't too familiar with the format.
Yeah, I think we're qualified for the All-Ireland series, but if we win at the weekend or on Thursday night, is it, against Clare, where or not Clare, who
Limerick, who are out.
Limerick, sure, Limerick, who are
Yeah.
out, we're in the final. If the top two go to the final, and the next two are straight into the All-Ireland
Yeah, I think you
series.
need a bit of a goal difference swing or score difference swing. Life is easier on the Sunday game couch, lads, isn't it, by all accounts?
That's for sure.
Barry
lot of
Neville
lads
of
finding that out.
Hurling. Gary Neville of Hurling.
Turning to all things Leinster, lads. Leinster's cracking championship. It's anyone can beat anyone at the moment, and Wexfording. Stephen, great win over Galway there. What?
We called it last week, didn't we? They went down and got Beth Lantrim, but they could easily go down and beat Galway or Kilkenny, and there must be big pressure on Henry Shefflin up there, but I suppose it's probably the reason why Galway haven't been regular winners of All-Irelands. That probably the microscope wouldn't be on them as much as it would if it was Tipperary that was losing to Wexford after Antrim beating Wexford the week before. But yeah, and with an extra man for 20 minutes of the game, I think it was, a really bad challenge on one on it was an
Yeah,
island, I think it
Jesus.
was, and
Now that's a red card.
you have to wonder what Henry Shefflin is doing up there,
Is he phoning
that's
it in,
a
lads, up there?
Is he trying to emulate sorry, forgive the word. Is he trying to copy what Brian Cody was doing, getting ready for a Leinster final and an assault on the All-Ireland series? But it's Galway, so they mightn't be able to afford to do that, and especially losing to Wexford. So it's It'd be some kick in the hole for him if they don't make a Leinster final.
Is there a way they possibly won't make a Leinster final still, though? You know, that Wexford Dublin that bad. Antrim. Could.
They're fourth at the moment. It was a 2019 they didn't even come out of Leinster. Dublin beat
That was
them,
the
so
famous Dublin one, was kind of
yeah.
ambushed them
But
there in the
yeah,
final
like
game.
Stephen is right. Shifflin is not a question center here. Like Wexford were beaten by Antrim, and like this is crazy losing to Wexford. Like I got. He has huge questions to answer. His placement of the team was all over the place. McInerney playing at wing back, bringing back Johnny Glynn. Like he's made some very, very questionable decisions. I would say.
Yeah, if
Like,
you're like a Galway, have a good few kind of under 20 teams, minor teams, kind of winning teams coming, and you're bringing a, you're flying a lad back in from America or whatever, like it was just as.
they won four minors from 17 to 19 or 20. Like. And there's only one of them starting.
We had a day
Amazing.
off early on. When I see Johnny Glynn was, I was like, I couldn't be reading this right. Like, no, you can't. Is this really happening? You know what I mean? If you're going back to that. Now, when there's so many young lads, they are waiting for a crack at it. You think, you know, you're probably a young lad there now, and you probably can't wait to see the back of the manager. You know, you probably feel like you're never going to get a chance, and you know that quenches the competitiveness in training because you think, sure, look, you're just going to go back to that lad again. You know, and that's not good for the lads coming after, the lads that should be taking them spots. You know, can a man flying in and out of America be ready for championship hurling? Obviously not, like if they're getting bet to Wexford.
Ernie McInerney won two All-Irelands doing it. Might be too old for ye lads, though.
They're nearly parachuted into the semi-final of the two game season then it sounds.
Well, like even Wex, I think Wexford like didn't even, well, the crowd below was tiny as well. It was, well, I don't think there was even 5,500 or something. I saw the figure nearly flew over, like, but like people in Wexford probably just gave up. But then like, Galway just didn't even try, to be honest. Like Lee Chin had to walk at Wexford Park, like, who literally done what he wanted, you know. And again, he's been around, I think he's in the 50 championship game as well, so he's been around a long time as well. Like, but Jesus, like Galway, what are they trying to achieve? Is what I want to know. Like, are they even, where are they go? What's their aim? Are they, is it, we'll get to now a semi-final and we'll see, can we rattle someone? Like, no one's going to be kind of half looking at me even with the performance so far. Like, you know, Limerick go out and just beat teams, you know, and Munster. And I look at what's going on in Munster and compared to this, like, it's baffling, to be honest.
Looking at the table there, the table up there, like it's basically anything could happen. Anyone from Dublin, Wexford, or Galway could end up, or even Antrim could end up in a Leinster final. But like, yeah, if Wexford beat Kilkenny, because one of the remaining, they'd have a great
Which is
chance of actually
possible.
making it. Yeah,
They
which
bet
is,
last year, last game, didn't they, to go
yeah, it
through?
was a, but that was to stay up basically.
Say,
But
oh, stay up. Was it? Sorry.
yeah, I think Kilkenny
But
would.
doesn't do Galway have to go to Parnell Park as well? Like, isn't the Galway management team from the 2017 All Ireland is all over Dublin? So like they'll be gunning for Dublin or for Galway.
No, that's in Pearse
Not it, is
Stadium,
it?
it's the last game, yeah.
Right.
But again, that they
Yeah.
both have something on the line, likely that day.
Yeah.
You know, if
But like
anything, Dublin have a few tricky fixtures.
Dublin
Dublin
aren't.
have Kilkenny at home now,
Yeah, they're not
and
going bad though, Dublin either. Like so.
but even then,
Kilkenny
look, they were
are down a
discounting
few as well.
Antrim, Dublin Antrim this weekend, lads. That, you know, that's Parnell Park, all right. But you know, Antrim on a massive high there. Dublin, there's nothing to fear.
Another couple of weeks of training into the Dunlai boys as well back, and yeah, they won't. They'll be looking forward to going to Parnell Park at the weekend. Like if they could get a second win, that'd be huge for Antrim hurling.
Yeah, absolutely. If they could somehow manage a win there, it'd be the story of the season. GAA goal, lads. I think that's what the Cork Limerick game is on the weekend. Seems to be just not going away. If it turns into a cracker of a game, again, that very few people see. It's not the best promotion for hurling. I think we're getting a raw deal in the split of games.
I don't mind GA Go, and maybe that's because I have it and I'm able to use it or whatever, you know. But I think the the point about the promotion of hurling is a huge one. And if we want to, or if the GA want to promote hurling in the weaker counties, like as we all say, if you draw a line across Dublin to Dublin and Galway, everything above that, if you want to promote hurling in those weaker counties, it has to be free to air. They have to be able to see the Munster Championship. They have to be able to see the excitement, the crowds, the skills that are on show. And that's how we promote it.
But even, Mike, if you're a Dublin hurling fan, you're not even getting to see your team on GAA Go or RT.
They're not on this weekend.
Yeah, they're not on it. They're hardly ever on it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, isn't that like what the Carlo and Antrim guys are saying as well? Like that they get maybe 3 minutes at the end of the Sunday game where they show one of the scores. Nobody really analyzes the game and it's done. Whereas the Sunday game are analyzing the game that was on that day, which doesn't really make sense. Like, you know, so.
Yeah, look, it's because there is a few simple things you could do, you know, in terms of promotion. Like, you know, a highlights program for just maybe 4 weekends out of the year. It's only when there's this level of games on, have a Saturday game and have a Sunday game. Put maybe
the even show up back, like even have a game accessible free to air on the Monday or Tuesday or somewhere online and not have someone else have to rip the video and upload themselves on, you know, that carry on, like to even watch the match back.
Like. Well, I think like having, like saying, look, football will get its opportunity for the shop window later in the summer when the Super 8s or whatever the group games have, you know, like when they're coming to a finish and all that, that's their natural shop window, kind of something verging on knockout football there.
What do you lose? Like, do you lose the provincial final? This is the issue. Like, do you lose the football final? Have to be shown, don't they? Like,
they have to be shown the form. But I think that Saturday evening, that's the slot is there. It's just at the moment it's the GAA Go slot. But if the game is big enough, I'd say RTE.
And there's a rugby slot at the moment, isn't
there? Probably League of Ireland as well. Like, but you know, it's probably for a month out of the year. Like, you know, it's not, we're not asking for too much.
You have to admire the rugby lads that obviously are talking when they're doing these contracts, because they make sure that every game is, if you want to show the Six Nations, you show the Ireland women's team on the Friday night free to air as well.
Under 20s and all that shit.
Yeah, or whatever it is. And they tie in everything with it. Like, did GAA have to get better at doing that? It's like if you want 31 games, which I think is the figure that the GAA package has, you have to show all the Joe McDonagh games, or you have, you know, we have to get better at the negotiations. But then the problem being that GAA Go is jointly owned by RTE and the GAA, so they have vested interest in keeping.
I would say that the Munster Hurling is definitely a lost leader up there, or like designed to attract. Because if you strip away maybe Munster Championship game, a few club football, or not club football, the round robin football games later in the summer, there's not a whole pile on, like, you know, it's GAA to make it worth the subscription.
There's 78 games on it. So I suppose if you're just an overall GAA fan, you probably do get the. And there was a deal, was it €80 back in
yeah, 69 at Christmas, no?
Yeah, at Christmas, yeah, €70, yeah. But like Cork fans are definitely getting a raw deal on Cork hurling fans. I mean,
yeah,
this is their third game this is their third game in a row on GAA Go. So
but like as well, it's great that anywhere can kind of show it. Like, we're in Roarmore GAA Club there in Waterford on Saturday, and went in, they had was the Offaly game on, then the Wexford Galway game on, then a tip game on GAA Go on a big screen, and there hardly on 5 or 6 telly on a big screen, and they worked absolutely perfect. You know, they're able to do it. Like, you know, this thing, like, they are giving out, they can't do it as well, aren't they able to do it, or else their internet is shite, or else they don't know how to plug in a HDMI to TV. You know, I've often seen people online going, oh, it's not working on my telly, and trying to plug in this and that. Like, it is great if you can work it. If you can't work it, there is ways to make it work. Like, this is why I'm getting thick with people that haven't even tried to fix it. Like, get right once to say it's working. Like.
Yeah, it's I don't think the debate is going to go away anytime this year. You know, it's going to fester on in the background.
don't think Diego is going to go anywhere either, Kevin. You know, it just needs the scheduling. Probably it needs to be better. Like, and that's the best we can hope for from it. Diego is here to stay, and we probably will see more and more games going towards the Diego, because I'd say GA TV is something that's going to. There's so many games now, and in that period between whatever April and July, that like, as much as we would like RT to be GA TV, it can't be, because you know the other terrestrial programming has to be on. So there definitely will be a push towards more games on GA Go.
Speaking of a game that probably isn't on GA Go this weekend, I'm going to take a wild stab at this. It was probably Antrim Tipperary in Corrigan Park. Sean, are you going to this one on Sunday afternoon? Maybe get in a bit of the Causeway Coast while you're up there.
The Talchin Club, is it? It's on Clubber, I think, isn't it?
Is it? Talchin?
I think it is.
Clubber's the best value
in
the country.
I won't be there, unfortunately, Kevin.
Yeah, I've no idea how tip are going in this. Antrim seem to have come on a bit in recent years, so that'll be tough enough. But again, like, you're looking for that one win to get you into the knockouts of this thing, aren't you? Otherwise, it's a real short year for Tipperary. You need games to develop.
Yeah, one thing I will have to say I was very surprised with was there wasn't, like, the 20s did quite well. They won two or three games, and then they were beaten by Kerry in the semi final. And there was a couple of good performers on that, and like Oran Jones, I think was the top forward, and was putting up 1-4, 1-5 most of the days, and didn't get a call up to the senior football panel. I don't think there was any additions to the senior football panel. And like, we're not winning the Charlton Cup. We're in Division 4, in the bottom three of Division 4. We should be trying to develop players through the Charlton Cup. And surely they were, the guys like that were people that should be brought into the panel to see what's required of them, to see the standard that they need to get to. Like,
I don't know, Mike, if that's a finance issue. Maybe they're carrying as much as they're allowed for the Charlton Cup, you know, or how much the GPA kind of allow or whatever. It is a fair point.
But there's room within the GPA charter. Like, the GPA can't say you pick your 34 lads for the panel in April and you're stuck with them for the year. Like
no, but can the Tipperary County Board say it?
No, but Paul Kelly can drop four lads off the panel and call up four lads. I mean, surely that's within the remit of the manager.
Mm.
And on football there, see, your minors got bet heavily by Kerry tonight, but they're close enough half time there. Before we started there, I think they're only a pint through down.
Yeah,
half-time.
A pint down half time, and Kerry
City. I
think
it's 2-19
to 11 or.
Yeah. Lost by
2-5, 14
in the end. 14 points in the end, you know. So, like, you know, the first half form is there, would echo something, whatever happened in the second half. But, you know, it's underage have to start developing to get senior division leagues up again. Like,
they've seem to be getting a lot of games there, that minor cohort as well, between the Daryl Darcy Cup and.
Did good wins there on the year, like, you know, they were playing. Did good few wins there, like, and good mix.
I think it'd be disappointing for them that this is the second year in a row they've topped the round robin and then lost the Daryl Darcy final to it happened against Limerick last year and Clare this year.
Yeah,
that, like, we probably will never topple Kerry and Cork, but we want to be the best of the rest. If we want to get closer in. At senior level,
absolutely. And look, you see, Clare had their day in the sun against Kerry at the weekend, so it's not getting easier, is it, for the mid ranking and the lower ranking counties to stay with the kind of super heavyweights in football?
Yeah, Paddy Clifford did his best to get rid of the provincials at the weekend. I don't think he barely lifted the cup, didn't he?
He looked actually disappointed to be lifting it, to be honest,
didn't he?
Yeah. It's like a pre-season competition, so.
Clare brought an outstanding match. You know, there's a bit of, even looking on TV, it looked, you know, for usually sometimes them games we have into, but it's a fair old buzz round.
Yeah,
you know,
look,
Clare again, they're trying to see Clifford, like.
Again, the GA, there's a few easy wins for him, like, and shifting Leinster finals out of Croke Park would probably be up the top of anyone's list.
Or charging 40 euros, is it, for the final?
Yes.
Leinster final 40 euro, no? football.
Yeah, it's 30 for a round robin game, so for the Munster. So yeah, wouldn't be surprised it's 40 to see a turkey shoot. And then like Louth were in it last year, so it doesn't have the same novelty.
I was disappointed with the crowd at the Munster final because I thought Clare would bring more with it being in Ennis, but I think there was only 13,000 at it.
That's all it
I thought it'd
was.
be more. Like
Is it looks like more.
West Clare is a haven of football. Like you know, you can't you won't find a you won't find a hurley if you go once you go west of Ennis. Like so, it's yeah,
Maybe they're sick of
it's a
coming in
walk in the
every week.
park for Kerry, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No bother, man. Sure, look, we'll reconvene next week, hopefully, and plenty more to talk about. Might look at the Tipperary lineup for a very big game at Semple at home. Home comforts, hopefully, against Cork. So thanks a million.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.